welcome to this week's episode of Midweek Mom Talk on 360 Talk Radio for Women. I'm Dr. Jackie, the owner of Motion Spot LLC and Motion Spot Pediatrics. If you've been following along, especially on Instagram, where I am giving you the BTS behind the scenes on my daily life right now, then you would know that I have been doing the 5 a.m. wake ups, staying up, and continuing along with the day from there. So I just want to give you an update on how that's going. For those of you who don't know, I'll give you a quick little summary, little Spark Notes version, if you will. Is Spark Notes still a thing, by the way? Anyway, so what's been happening? My baby girl, she's 8 months now. She wakes up around 5 a.m., sometimes a little bit before 5, like 4:50-ish, for her breakfast. So I feed her. I'm nursing, so I'll nurse her. And then after she's done nursing, she goes back to sleep. So I put her back in her crib. And then I have my struggle of, do I stay up or do I go back to bed? Because if I stay up, I'm feeling kind of like tired and it's very tempting to go back to bed, right? But then I noticed that if I go back to bed, then it's harder to wake up again. And usually I end up having to wake up in less than 2 hours. Like I always go back hoping it'll be just, you know, I just need 2 more hours. So I'm hoping I get those 2 hours, but it never ends up actually being a full 2. Usually my son will wake up or my daughter in like an hour, maybe an hour and a half tops. And then it's extremely difficult to get out of bed. So what I started doing, I've been doing this for, I would say over a week now, actually. So what I've been doing is getting up and staying up after I put her back down. So I brush my teeth, I get dressed, and I go downstairs, have some coffee, get some work done. And I'm going to say it's actually been great. It's been a lot easier than when I tried it with my son at this age, because he would wake up at 4 a.m. for his feed and then sleep for another 2 hours. 4 a.m. was extremely difficult, like really not sustainable. And I felt like it was too early even to like really have my coffee, and I was still too exhausted to truly focus on getting work done. But the 5 a.m.s are doable. Some people get up at 5 a.m. typically, like that's their usual wake-up time. So it feels a lot more normal to be up at 5 a.m. But unfortunately, I'm not getting like that two hours of time to myself to get work done, because my kids, you know, I might be getting up, but my kids are still not sleeping for another 2 hours. So my son has been waking up especially early. He used to sleep between 7 and 7:30 a.m. sometimes later. Now he's been getting up typically before 7, like 6:40. And somebody commented on Instagram actually, like, oh, you know, it's only 20 minutes. Like, that's not a huge amount of time for a kid. For us as grown-ups, as moms, it feels like a big difference. Like, it's not even 7 a.m., but to them, like, it's only 20 minutes. It's not such a huge difference or such a, you know, big deal, I guess, is what she was trying to get at. But for me, it's definitely a big deal. But anyway, so my staying up after putting my daughter down has been even more beneficial since my son is waking up earlier. So when he gets up, I am already up. I'm not struggling to get up or get ready or anything like that. I'm already up. Everything kind of runs more smoothly when I'm up. And this is what I've been doing. So when I get downstairs, I turn on the coffee machine, coffee maker. So first of all, I'm getting my hot coffee. The coffee is hot. I am the one who put it together, who turned it on, who made it, who brewed it. In the past, my husband would turn it on whenever he woke up. Sometimes by the time I got downstairs, it was already cold. Other times I would pour it while it's still hot, but then I have my kids who are up with me, so I don't actually get a chance to drink it hot. So when I know that's like a common, I guess, thing in motherhood, like a running joke, that's the word I'm looking for. It's a running joke that moms never get to drink their coffee at the temperature they desire. They're always putting it in the microwave to warm it up, then we forget it in the microwave, then we put it back to warm up, whatever. So now I'm getting to drink my coffee at the temperature I like, which is freshly hot. And what I'm doing while the coffee is making, I'll turn on my computer and I will start to do some body movement. So before my coffee, I don't know about you, but I really can't focus on work so much, maybe like a thing or two, but I need to do something else. So instead of just sitting at my computer scrolling or wasting time, I decided to get some body movement in. And it's been, I think, a game changer because it also helps me to further wake up. But also then moving my body for those 2 minutes makes me feel a lot more productive. And I'm getting stretching in, I'm getting movement in. So if I end up not getting like a full exercise time later in the day, it's okay because I know I did do some targeted movements first thing in the morning. So it's nothing crazy. I usually don't even like go down to the floor. I stay everything in standing. I do my breath work. I do my balance routine, which is for core and pelvic floor work. If you are interested in that, by the way, I did record it as a freebie, so you can send me a message on Instagram, just message me at MotionSpot LLC saying balance freebie and I'll send that your way. What else have I been doing? Just a couple of body weight things and just things that are simple to do but give a good stretch, a little bit of muscle building, a little bit of muscular endurance, and that's how I start my day now. It's really, really been great. So after I do that, if the coffee is still not done, then I will start doing a little bit of work that doesn't require too much thinking. I've also been getting a head start on dinner prep at 5 a.m. because, again, if the coffee has not been finished, I cannot do like real true work. So I have also been adding in some dinner prep, not every day, depending on what it is that I want to do for dinner that day. Sometimes it's my husband who cooks dinner, so if it's like a my turn to do it, we don't like take turns as in a schedule. We just kind of have ideas of what we want for dinner. But anyway, I'll make that. I'll turn on professional development, either a continuing ed course or I have videos from my business coach, my mentor, who I'm working with. So she'll send me videos. I'll listen to those, different trainings. And I'm getting a lot in this less than 2 hour period in the morning. I'm having my coffee. I'm doing my movement. I'm getting dinner started. I'm listening to professional development, personal development, and I'm getting some work done while I drink that hot coffee, all before my kids wake up. It sounds too good to be true, and here is, I guess, the downside of it. It definitely does catch up with me, because while I've been waking up and staying up, I haven't been getting to bed earlier. But last night, I actually did. I went to bed before 9 a.m., which is wild. 9 a.m. Yes, I definitely went to bed before 9 a.m. I went to bed before 9 p.m. and got that full night's sleep from 9 p.m. until my daughter, of course, woke up at like 3, just crying for reasons unknown. Truly, I have no idea. Like, I don't know if it's night terrors or just like her routine for whatever reason. Like, she ends a sleep cycle, has to cry, and then I really don't know. But it's pretty consistent around 3 a.m. We don't get her. We don't, you know, touch her. We try not to look at her. Yes, she's still in our room because we're afraid that she's going to wake our son up. But anyway, she just goes back to sleep, usually within 20 minutes. So anyway, I slept from 9 to 3, then like 3:30-ish until around 5. So I am definitely more refreshed this morning. What's also, I think, interesting about this new routine of mine, not only am I getting things done, and then when my kids do wake up, I think I'm a better mom. Because I'm not stressed about like, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I want my coffee hot, or like, I already did all these things. So when my kids wake up, I'm more in tune with them and I'm giving them more of my attention. Like if they want to play, if they say, especially my son, if he's like, mama, let's go play. In the past, I'd be like, okay, like 1 second, let me just finish what I'm doing and then I'll get to you kind of thing, you know? But now I can just say yes. Or sometimes I even ask him like, oh, do you want to play? And sometimes he'll say yes, other times he'll say that he wants to play by himself, which is fine, and then I can, you know, maybe get some more work done or sit and finish my coffee, enjoy kind of watching him play, you know? But the point is that I'm not as stressed out, and I feel like I'm able to really be with my kids more and actually be present with them. Not only that, But my husband actually made a comment the other morning that I am in a much better mood and I am happier when I stay up and go downstairs and get everything going at 5 a.m. And I thought that was really great because I feel like I was kind of grumpy at like the 7 a.m. I was tired still. I had a hard time getting up. Now I'm stressed because I feel like I'm behind. I haven't had a chance to get anything done and the kids are already awake, right? Whereas now I am happier. I am kind of in a bit of a better mood. He even was impressed when he came downstairs after me and was like, "That doesn't smell like coffee. What is that?" And I was already getting dinner ready. Like, it was already being prepared. The onions were chopped and already being cooked. The, you know, whatever I was making was already in the process of being made. And he commented that that was impressive. And if you know me, you know that I love comments. I love compliments, especially from strangers. But any kind, my husband would always joke about that, like, at the gym, that I love compliments from strangers. But any kind of, like, gratification or any kind of a compliment, so him being impressed with me, I always ask him if he's impressed with me, usually about work related things, but I'll take it. You know, he was impressed that I was cooking at 6 a.m. maybe it was even before 6 a.m. but that helped my day so much because then dinner was already made. Like, it was 6 a.m. and dinner was made, and then by 4 p.m. instead of having to stress about just starting cooking and figuring out how I'm going to do that with my baby up and about, instead all we had to do was turn on the stove to warm things up, and I like cut up a tomato, and that was pretty much it. Like, the hard stuff was already done, and it was great, and my husband was so appreciative of dinner being made when he was home. It was really just like a low stress environment. But again, that being said, the 5 a.m.s have started to catch up with me, and I was very, very tired by the end of the day. But going to bed early, I think, just, you know, it's what I needed. And it's okay to do that because also, since I've been getting up and I've been productive throughout the day, there actually wasn't even a lot of cleanup to do by that end of the day period. Plus, my husband was in appreciation mode, so he was like, "It's fine, like, there's really not much to clean up, I'll take care of whatever it is, you should go to bed." And I did not question it, right? You don't have to tell me twice. I accepted that offer, and I went right to bed. So I don't know if that's something that I'm going to need to do or want to do every single night, but at least once in a while, I'm going to go to bed early like this, and then I think it'll give me, like, a refresh to continue doing my 5 a.m.s for the next few days. So if you are kind of struggling in the morning, figuring out your routine, figuring out what works, what doesn't work, I know it might sound like, meh, like, I don't want to do this, right? To get up a little bit earlier. And I honestly, like, when people on Instagram, especially like those fitness influencer types, when they say that they like hit the gym at 4 a.m., I'm like, good for you, Susan. Like, I want to keep sleeping at 4 a.m. But I'm not telling you to get up extremely early, but I am suggesting try to get up a little bit earlier and see if that changes anything for you. Or if you're like me and you have a child who wakes you up early, try to stay up when you put them back down instead of putting yourself back down too. Sometimes, especially at first, but even after that, there are going to be mornings where you're very, very tempted to go back to sleep. The way that I started it was by brushing my teeth after putting her down and then going back to bed so that when I woke up again, my teeth were at least already brushed, right? And then from there, I progressed to just staying up altogether because I was noticing that I was actually getting more awake as I brushed my teeth and had a harder time going back to sleep after that. But anyway, so it will definitely be tempting. There will be times of temptation that you want to put yourself back to sleep. But just if you can just fight through those couple of moments that you have, I think this could really work for you, like it has worked for me. I'm telling you that, like, alone time of just getting a couple things done, even if all it is just sitting by yourself in the quiet with your hot cup of tea or coffee, like, it's bliss. It's pure bliss. So I would definitely recommend just starting your day a little bit early, starting it a little bit before your kids wake up. My husband had mentioned, he had commented on it, that it's always easier for him to get up on his own terms. So maybe that is part of it as well. Like, I mean, it's not that I get up on my own terms because my baby wakes me up, but I stay up on my own terms. So maybe psychologically that's better. Maybe not even psychologically, but physiologically, maybe it is easier to just stay up instead of going back to sleep and then being woken up again, like in a pretty short period of time. Whatever it might be, whether you need to get up on your own, whether you need to be up before your kids do, or, you know, whatever it is, I just definitely recommend you trying this out. It's been part of something that I'm working on with my mentor, where I broke up my entire day. I highlighted all the different things I do throughout the day and their different times. I think I mentioned this maybe on the last episode, having a daily schedule sheet so you can visibly see, you can visualize, not just in your head, but in person, like in front of you, you can see for yourself, what does my day look like? What am I doing when? And then you can decide, you know, is this working for me or do I need to make some adjustments? So what I really wanted to adjust was my morning routine. And this was like really just, I would say coincidental. I don't know if it was truly coincidental, but I didn't have this thought of, oh, okay, I'm working with my coach and she told me to get up early. Like, that's not what it was. But I just decided that this was something that I wanted to do. When I had first written out that schedule or highlighted my schedule, and I saw that I wanted to make the morning a little bit earlier, what I was actually thinking wasn't even to get up earlier. What I was truly thinking was that instead of kind of like dilly-dallying in the morning, is that how you say that? Russian is my first language. English is not my first language. So there are some like American type phrases, my husband says, like dilly-dally, and I feel like very weird when I use it, and I feel like I just mispronounced it, or I think I misused it. Maybe not. No, I think it was right. But in the morning, when I don't, like, just get my kids ready and we leave, when we, I guess, dilly-dally, right? When we're just, like, hanging around, kind of, and I'm, like, not sure what I'm waiting for, but it feels like I'm waiting for something, then we end up leaving late, and then we get home later, and then it just feels more stressful. So I'm trying to get home between 9 and 9:30 from drop-off instead of just leaving the house at 9 and 9:30. Between 9 and 9:30. So actually staying up has been helpful for that too, because then when my son wakes up, it's like, all right, well, I'm not just going to hang out with you here for 2 hours, right? Like, we can hang out for an hour and there's nothing else to do. Like, what else are we waiting for? Let's just go to daycare. Let's go to school and let you have a great day there. So that's been great. So I've been able to do that. Now what I need to work on is that night routine more of, am I going to go to bed early all the time? Just sometimes, like figuring that out. But either way, it's been great to have that visual. And I recommend that if you are struggling with your morning routine or your night routine, you know, whatever it is, if you're struggling with your routines, look into changing just something relatively small, right? Like, I'm waking up an hour to 2 hours earlier. It's not a huge change that I'm making. I'm doing a drop-off 15 to 30 minutes earlier. Again, not a huge change that I've made, but the results of that change, the impact of that change, are really, really huge. So I hope that's some useful information for you. I hope it's relatable, my story that I've just shared. I'm going to continue doing these 5 a.m. wake-ups. I don't know for how long. Maybe forever, but probably not like forever. I'm thinking until my kids start sleeping in later, then I'll start sleeping in later while still trying to make sure that I wake up before they're supposed to wake up. So we'll see when that schedule shift happens, but I really like waking up before my kids wake up. It's really been great, especially since I have so much work to do between the work that I'm doing with my business mentor, plus the businesses that I'm running, like the actual work that I have to do with my business. We have a couple of new things that we're working on, a couple of new projects and new programs. So there really is a lot to do, and it gets very stressful when I have to do it all during the day while I'm simultaneously with my baby. So this has been great. Very happy with my decision so far. I will tell you something else about this whole thing and something I did not expect. I'm actually also more confident on social media at the crack of dawn. For some reason, at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, I have been posting more on my Instagram, specifically on stories, but not just posting or like sharing other things or taking a picture of random stuff, but I've been actually showing my face and speaking, not with anything covering me or with like a funny voice, like just me, my face, no filter, my voice, no voice over or vocal filters, just me. And I've been like weirdly confident with it. I've been showing up and just being a lot more present on social media. And why is that weird? Because it actually makes social media more enjoyable when you're using it in this way, in my opinion, right? Of course, it depends what your purpose is for being on social media. I have a couple different reasons, I guess. So I have a couple different accounts, and I use each account kind of for different reasons, right? One is for business, one is more for personal. But if you are on social media and what you're doing is essentially being like invisible, like you're trying to be this fly on the wall of other people's lives, right? So you're scrolling, you're seeing what everyone else is doing, you kind of feel like you're like spying on everybody else and no one else sees you, nobody else knows that you're there, right? You're not very active, you're just scrolling at other people. But how does that make you feel? What does that end up doing to the feelings you have about your life? When I do that, right, when I am just scrolling and looking at these other people, what often ends up happening is that I end up kind of falling into this cycle of, you know, these people have perfect lives, why is my life not so perfect? And even consciously knowing we are just getting this small little glimpse of this person's life, and odds are they are posting it in the most perfect way, right? Even when people post these like not perfect things, they still somehow seem to make it look perfect. It's like perfectly imperfect, right? So when I'm scrolling in this way, when I'm acting invisible on social media and just looking at everyone else's lives, that's what ends up happening with me. I'm like, you know, it goes into this comparison. Why is their house so clean? How are they so fit after just giving birth? Oh, their kids eat everything perfectly for dinner. Their kids always do their homework the perfect way. Their clothes are so nice. Their makeup is so perfect. Then you think, why can't I do these things? Why can't I look that way? Do you know what I mean? When you're scrolling and you're comparing yourself in that way, again, even knowing that these people's lives are not perfect either. They have their own issues, I'm sure of it. I'm sure you know this too. But when all you're seeing is this small little glimpse, we don't know what happened right before or right after. So it does get difficult to look at something like that and not think that this must be what their whole life is like. I know mine is not like that. Okay? But when I am more active on social media, which I have been for some reason, again, I don't know why, at the crack of dawn, I am a more confident person. I think it's more that I am like partially delirious, like just so tired in my state of delirium. But I think another part is that I'm also proud of myself for making the choice and taking the effort to stay up and like start the day and be productive. And I am using my Instagram for business purposes as well. This business account, my Motion Spot account, is for business. So I know I have to show up on that business account in order for it to grow, in order to connect with my clients, in order for people to find me, whatever algorithms are out there, right? Like, you need to be present on it. And although I've had this account for years now, and it's not huge by any means, it's like not so impressive, but even my saying it's not so impressive, I say that because I compare myself to other people, right? When I look at other people's accounts and they look so perfect and they have a million billion followers and I have just a few hundred, but it's not just a few hundred, right? I have like an actual little community there. And so when I am in that cycle of I'm being invisible on here, I am scrolling, I am comparing, it makes me not want to show up on my business account, which then makes me not want to show up for my business in real life. Like, it makes me not want to do the work that I have to do. Not working with my clients, but I mean like all the other stuff, the paperwork, the billing, the notes, like just all these extra things that are not really what I'm supposed to be doing, I guess, as an OT. Like, that's not what I went to school for, right? So then I feel like, you know, I'm not good at these other things. Why am I even doing this? You know, the negative self-talk. But when I'm an active participant, I feel more confident. And I'm showing up just as myself, too. Like, at 5 a.m., that is not the time of day to be pretending like you're something else, especially to be pretending like everything is perfect. Things are not perfect at 5 a.m. I just rolled out of bed, brushed my teeth, waiting for my coffee. Like, I'm not usually a happy, cheery, smiley 5 a.m. person. Maybe by 6 a.m., maybe. Okay? But I'm still able to show up confidently because I know I'm just being my true, pure, unfiltered, unedited self. And that feels good. And that feels also relatable to other people, to other moms. I'm not saying anything extremely fancy on there. I'm literally waking up and saying something along the lines of, it's 5 a.m., I'm awake, this is what we're doing right now. And maybe I'll show, like, some work that I got done or, like, my coffee that I'm drinking and just say good morning to my few hundred followers, right? Like, that's what it is. Not doing anything wild. And I'm getting a lot more engagement with that because it's a relatable thing, especially with parents, working moms, stay-at-home moms, new moms, even dads are commenting as well, right? Some of them are like, girl, it is too early, we gotta go back to bed. But they feel that camaraderie, right? That we are all up at this ungodly hour. Anyways, that's been an unexpected thing. I did not expect to do this. Or even not just do this, but more so feel this level of like confidence in my abilities. And I got it from being active on social media, right? It's like a weird thing you don't expect. But it's true, social media does have this like gripping effect on you. I don't know if gripping is the word. It has this like grasp on you. It has a hold on you for sure. For sure. I'm pretty sure that there are studies about this. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that there have been multiple positive things that have come from my deciding to stay up at 5 a.m., some of them expected, some of them not. And even this social media thing, I was planning to do social media related work and activities during this period of time that I'm awake, right? Like, I don't always have paperwork to do at 5 a.m. Social media and marketing things are part of the job that I have to do, and I definitely don't have time to do that during the day when I have the crying baby or the chatty toddler, you know. But at 5 a.m. when it's quiet, I'm able to do these things. So while doing it was on my list, the result that I got by doing it and the confidence boost I got by doing it, I was not expecting. And that feels pretty good. My business coach calls this the cycle of emotions. I don't know if she made that up or if it's like a psychology related thing, but either way, cycle of emotions, how you go from, you know, like excitement to fear to whatever comes after that, doubt. Okay. And she says that when you're in this, that feeling of like the doubt and negativity, that really the only way to get out of that is by being active, by doing activity. And in this case, like when it comes to business, it's like inactivity business-wise brings along the negative feelings. And then when you are doing something for your business, that's when you get back into the excitement and wanting to do it again. And that's exactly what I got with this. That's exactly what happened to me with this social media thing. Like, when I'm in this feeling of negativity, that's when I don't do things. And I don't even always know where the negativity came from or how it started, right? Sometimes maybe I am just scrolling aimlessly and it's not like I'm doing that on purpose. It's just, you know, something that happened. Maybe I saw something and had, you know, a moment of comparison and that brought me into a negative feeling. Or maybe it was out of fear of something. Maybe I was excited about something and then that next feeling was, oh my gosh, like that's gonna be scary. Like, what if this happens? Okay, whatever, I'm not gonna get into that. But for whatever reason, when I'm in that negative feeling, then I don't do the things I have to do. And then those negative feelings continue. But then when I get into action, when something happens or something changes, or I just decide and kind of force myself, right, to be active, to get into activity, that's when those positive feelings get back. And it's kind of like exercise, right? When you say activity, you think of exercise, at least I think of exercise. And it's definitely kind of like that when you're like, you know, okay, I want to lose weight or I want to gain muscle or I want to work out or whatever, but there's just no time. And then what's the point? And then I ate the ice cream and now I feel bad about myself, but I'm already feeling bad about myself. So I'm just going to eat more of the ice cream and I'm just going to sit on the couch and I wish I could work out, but I'm never going to be able to, or I can't do this and blah, 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 blah. Right. And then somehow, some way, you go for a walk and it's really nice out and it's a nice long walk and then you feel really good about yourself. So you go for a walk again the next day and then you go for a walk again 2 days later. And then before you know it, you're walking like multiple days a week and it feels great. And then maybe you did some extra little body weight exercises, some body weight squats. You add this in a few days per week, then maybe you're feeling extra frisky one day and decide to add lunges into the mix. And before you know it, you have a full movement routine. You're feeling great about yourself. You feel accomplished and have more mental clarity. Maybe you're even seeing results in the mirror or movement that you wanted to see on the scale. And how did all of this start? From that original activity. You took a walk. I know I was relaying this, you know, being an activity idea to business or work-related ventures prior to that example, but I'm using this process in other parts of my life right now, so I know that it's true and then I know that it works. The example I just gave you is basically me. It's like my real life right now. I didn't even like purposely give you that example, but as I was talking through it, I realized I'm just telling you exactly what's happening in my life right now. I'm working on the pregnancy weight. If you don't know, I'm 8 months postpartum with my second, so I have about 15 pounds left to go. And when you don't see that progress in the mirror or on the scale for something like this, it definitely gets frustrating and you feel like, you know, what's the point? Or this is taking so long. What am I doing wrong? And then you kind of get into that cycle of negativity. And then what's even the point? And then, you know, you do things that will make it even more difficult for you to reach your goal and thus further ingrain this false belief that you can't do whatever it is that you're trying to do. So what I have been doing is that morning movement when I get up, right? Just like I mentioned, morning movement while I wait for my coffee. That's how I basically started to get back into activity. I was doing other things previously, and then once I had a plateau for one reason or another, I think it was probably like birthdays and holidays and things like that, that just kept coming up and, you know, the eating was not great, so thus I wasn't having results. I didn't mean to say thus twice, so close together. Anyway, so when I stopped doing the extra movement, it was very frustrating. And then when I started waking up at 5 a.m., it was kind of like, well, there's really nothing else to do right now while I'm waiting for coffee. Definitely not going to try to work right now. So I just started moving. I didn't really think too much about it. I tried not to, you know, like, put so much emphasis on it mentally. I really started by it being more of a robotic thing. And I put a reel up on Instagram the other day about it. For some reason, Instagram removed some of my words. I think there was just like some weird social media glitch the other day, and it was happening to a lot of people. But whatever, you'll get the point if you go look at it. I'm not, you know, looking beautiful. I'm not particularly smiley in the beginning of each day, but you can see that I'm doing it. Even if it's robotic, I'm doing it, and that's the point. And now, especially that the weather is getting nicer in my area, it's been a lot easier to go for that walk, to go for that extra walk in the afternoon, to spend more time outside, and I'm even then working out at the end of the day as well. Before it was nice out, once I started that 5 a.m. wake up, I would do the morning movement in the morning, and then I would do an evening bit of exercise maybe once or twice a week. But now that I'm including the walk during the day, again, now the weather is nicer, I'm more motivated to go outside. The baby sleeps better. I get a nice 2-mile walk in, and I'm feeling a lot better about myself, which actually also helps me to be more productive in my other work. And not only am I more productive, but if I did miss something, or you know, if I didn't get something done, I don't feel as bad about it. I don't feel like, oh man, like I didn't get this done, I'm so stressed, now I'm falling behind, right? I don't feel that because I have the mental clarity that it's fine, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it, you know, later when I have an opportunity to. But it's also not that I feel like I wasted my time, right? Before, when I wasn't going for a walk during the day, I was trying to get the baby down and she really wasn't doing that. So I was trying to get work done and I wasn't able to get any work done. And then we basically just sat around and did nothing while I was trying to get her down. So then when I didn't get my work done, it felt like I just wasted the day away trying to get this kid to sleep. Whereas now, first of all, she does fall asleep on the walk. But if she didn't for some reason, at least I got that 2-mile walk in, I got some fresh air, I got some exercise. So that time, that hour or 2-hour period, was not a waste in my mind. It served a beneficial purpose. Now you might be thinking, that's great, Jack, but how do I actually will myself to doing this thing? So the answer to that is kind of a cop-out. There's really no answer other than putting your mind to it and just, you know, doing it, just knowing that starting is the hardest part. It's always, always much harder to start something than it would be to continue with something. When you're starting something, you have fear of the unknown, maybe dread of what's to come, uncertainty, right? But once it's started and you have to then continue, there's no longer that unknown in your mind. You know what to expect. And even if it's something that's perhaps unpleasant or what we would call a non-preferred activity, you no longer have fear or dread of the unknown. If anything, you know, okay, I just have to do this, and then it's going to be done and I can move on. Even if you maybe don't want to do it, maybe there's dread in doing it, but you know that you'll feel better once it's done. You know you can move on once it's done. And that should be enough of a motivating factor to continue. Once you've started, you've done it once, you finished it, you survived, you moved on with your day. That should be enough to help you keep going. Do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day, or as frequently as, you know, you might want it to be, whatever it is that you're doing. But you know how they say there's power in numbers? There's also power in action. There's power in activity, and starting that action, starting that activity, always feels better than dragging it out. Because dragging it out, that's when the dread comes in truly. That's when that true feeling of, ugh, I don't want to do this, sets in. And then you're giving it more power to take over before ultimately you give in. Whereas if you start the task, if you start doing, you don't give that dread a chance to take over. And this is true with really any aspect of life. Maintaining that action or starting that action in order to maintain it is going to keep that positivity about it up. Again, even if it's a non-preferred activity, it's something that you don't love doing, doing it, getting it done, moving on is always going to be better than delaying, than procrastinating, than, you know, just dragging it out, like I said. It's kind of like I think about how athletes or, you know, people who go to the gym often, people who exercise often, weightlift, whatever it may be, they are often saying like, oh, it's addicting, you know, once you go, you can't stop going. And then people who don't work out are like, what do you mean it's addicting? Like, it sounds awful, it's uncomfortable, you get sweaty and gross, then your muscles hurt the next day and blah, 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 right? So why are the athletes addicted to it? Why are the weightlifters addicted to it? Because of how it makes them feel. Some people, it's the feeling during, you know, maybe they feel really good during it. But for a lot of people, it's actually how they feel after. They have feelings of strength, of confidence, pride in achieving something. They have all of these positive feelings about what they just completed, even if it was something difficult, maybe even especially because it was difficult, but they persevered, they completed it, right? So that's how it happens. That's how people maintain that quote addiction to working out. It might not even be the actual working out itself that they love, right? But it's that feeling afterwards, that pride, sense of accomplishment, strength, plus all the hormonal benefits of working out, you know, but not every activity that you don't want to do has those hormonal benefits. So you can't just rely on like endorphins and adrenaline to keep it going. But those feelings of accomplishment, those feelings of pride, that can come with any other activity. Just knowing you did it, you completed it, you feel accomplished. Now you can move on with your day. For me, something that I dislike doing, I dread doing, it causes me a lot of stress to think about, is paperwork, which is really not ideal when you own a business, especially a medical health-related private practice. There's so much paperwork. Paperwork is probably like half the job, or at least it feels like it's half the job some days. To start the business, there's paperwork. To continue with the business, there's paperwork. To work with clients, there's paperwork. It's always paperwork. And I find it very stressful because each piece of paper has its own requirement, its own things that need to be filled out or added on or not added on, their own deadlines, way to submit it, etc. So it just really causes me a lot of stress. But the longer I wait to complete any piece of paperwork, the more dread I feel, the more stress I feel. And instead of it being one or two papers that I have to complete, it feels like it's a whole mountain of paperwork that I am just buried under and I can't get out from. But really, if I just did the paperwork, it would be done. I would be out from the mountain, and it would only be a couple of pieces instead of this whole mountain that it feels like. So that's something that I've been trying to get better at, doing the paperwork, not letting it drag out. Once I get something, I start it, I do it, I move on with my day, right? So it's the same type of concept there, that same concept of activity, completing the activity, power in activity, get it done, move along, instead of waiting or dragging it out, letting the negativity set in, letting the dread set in. So what's the point here? Because believe it or not, what I am not telling you is that you have to start waking up before the sun, that you have to change all of your downtime to exercise time, that you can never just hang around, sit around, that you can never sleep in. That's not what I'm telling you. That's not what I'm saying. The purpose of this episode, the point of all I'm saying, is that when needed, making small changes even if they don't feel so small. Making these small changes can have huge positive effects on your life, on your health, on your happiness, on your stress levels, on your just overall well-being. These small changes can really go a very long way. And what I hate when most people say, oh, you know, just do this little thing, make this little change in your routine, turn it into a habit, and then it's a lifestyle change. Like, yeah, that's, you know, definitely a possibility. But what people don't mention is how hard it can be to maintain something forever, right? And just the idea of implementing something and thinking, oh my God, I have to do this forever. Like, that is not a pleasant thought. That's not a pleasant feeling, especially when it comes to making some sort of a behavioral change. So what I'm saying, more so than, you know, doing this thing forever, like, I'm not planning to get up and stay up at 5 a.m. forever, right? I'm doing it now because that's what I need right now. It's not so much the 5 a.m. It's more so the getting up before my kids so that I have time to get work done. If they would get up at 9 o'clock, then my wake up time would be 7. And that would obviously be way more ideal than 5, but that's just not my reality right now. So right now, what I need is that 5 a.m. What I need is doing some movement, some stretching in the morning while the coffee's making, right? That's what I need right now. When I was first into the like postpartum phase with my son, with my firstborn, when I was at the stage where I was ready to start exercising again and like moving a little bit, right? Like, you don't want to jump back into it, but you have to start somewhere. So I started with doing 2 minutes of exercise while I brushed my teeth, primarily in the evening, like the, you know, before bedtime teeth brushing. That's when I would do my exercise. In the morning, I was too groggy still. I brush my teeth like first thing. I hate morning breath. Even just saying morning breath gives me the ick. So, ugh. So I do not want to be moving around that early in the morning as like a first thing rolled out of bed situation. But in the evening, I can't do a full workout typically. I mean, like, I guess now I kind of do, so I take that back. But I mean, in the evening when I'm brushing my teeth, I still have enough energy to do 2 minutes of movement. So at that time, I replaced the 2 minutes of just standing around while I brushed my teeth with 2 minutes of movement exercises. Right? Do I still do that now? No, not so much. Maybe sometimes, but not as often, because that's not what I need anymore. But in the moment, I needed it. Right? Right now, I need movement when my coffee is making, which might still sound very early, and it is, but it's still a few minutes after I've already brushed my teeth. There's actually a debate in my house. Do you brush your teeth before or after you have your coffee? You obviously know my stance on it. My husband has the opposite stance. Definitely curious what yours is. Let me know. Send me a message on Motion Spot LLC. That's our Instagram handle. Send me a message if you brush your teeth pre or post coffee in the morning. But anyway, what I'm saying is implementing small changes that have a big impact don't have to be for forever. It can be just for right now because that's what you need in this moment. And once you've moved past that stage where you no longer need that, you're on to the next step, you don't have to do it anymore, right? So I'm not saying you can never have any downtime. You have to replace all of your couple minutes of, you know, quiet, mindless, whatever, relaxation with exercise forever. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying give it a shot if that's what you need right now. All right? Once you've gotten exercise back into your routine, once you've done this morning movement and you're feeling better and you're then, you know, going for walks, and then the walks turn into maybe like a 2-mile, 3-mile walk, or it turns into you wanting to do some body weight exercises or adding some light weights or light resistance after your walk, then maybe you don't need that morning stretch anymore once you've kind of reestablished a more consistent movement exercise program for yourself. Right, then you can move on from that morning stretch situation. Just like I said, that 5 a.m. wake up that I'm doing right now, I'm definitely hoping to move on from that. Either my kids will start sleeping later, so I can sleep a little bit later and still wake up before them. Or another option would be that maybe my daughter starts napping during the day more than those 30-minute little cat naps randomly. Maybe she'll take the 2-hour, 3-hour nap in the middle of the day, and I'll know then, okay, that's my chance to get work done. So I don't have to wake up as early as I do. I don't have to be up 2 hours before my kids are, or, you know, hoping to be up 2 hours before my kids are, right? Then I don't have to be up before them because I know I'll have a chance to do my work later. Something like that. That's what I'm trying to say. Think about where you are right now. Think about what you need right now. What small change, adjustment, if you will, can you make to help your situation right now, to help put yourself into that activity, take that action right now that will help propel you past this hump that you're in, or maybe it's a plateau that you're in. Whatever it is, whether you're on a hump or in a ditch, what small thing can you do to work past that? And then once you're past it, maybe you don't need to do this thing anymore. So again, it's not forever. Thinking that it's going to be something forever is a horrible feeling. And thinking that, having that feeling, having those thoughts, might be what causes you to not even try or to like keep yourself in that ditch, right? Thinking you have to do this thing forever, like that just sucks. So why would anyone want to start something that feels so heavy? Does that make sense? So I hope now that I've told you that it doesn't have to be a forever change. It can just be a for now change. And that for now change can lead to a different change, can lead to a different change, can lead to a different change. And maybe this is how you're going to get your quote unquote forever change. You know what I mean? Not with one thing that you're doing for the rest of your life, but with one thing that'll lead you to another, to another, to another, to another. I hope that makes sense. And if no one told you that before, I'm telling you right now, I'm giving you this insight that you don't have to make a forever change. Okay? Again, think about where you are. Think about where you want to be. Think about how you can get there. What action do you need to take? And make it a smaller piece of that large action. If you need help doing that, if you need help setting those goals and creating the piece-by-piece steps, let me know. I'm happy to help. Again, you can message me on Instagram, MotionSpotLLC, or you can send me an email, drjackie@motionspotllc.com. That's DrJackie, Dr. Jackie, @motionspotllc.com. Happy to help you work through that. With all that being said, I'm going to wrap up this episode. I hope you've enjoyed. I hope you've gotten some new insights, some fresh takeaways, and have some ideas for what you can do to get yourself back into activity. You've been listening to Midweek Mom Talk on 360 Talk Radio for Women. I'm Dr. Jackie. I hope you tune in again next time. Bye-bye for now.